Hey everyone, welcome back to Google Workspace Recap, where we review everything new to Workspace every week. My name is Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we're here to help you keep up. I think I have finally run out of new t-shirts that I'm buying from fellow creators, or maybe they just got buried in the drawer, I don't know, I'll have to check. We have a whole bunch of updates tonight, so buckle up and let's get started. Steve, how's it going?
Yeah, good. Yeah, a lot of updates outside of the Workspace updates. We just have, about three that came out through the week, four that they mentioned in the recap post, but actually five if you read closely. And a lot of other updates have been barking out, a whole bunch of stuff. Chrome 115 is coming out with a few new updates, some interesting, like a redesign of the ML console there. And another minor update on Driver Desktop. So, good amount of stuff to get through today. Otherwise, not much else happening here. I mean, we're trying to figure out next. I think you've managed to sort out accommodation and probably maybe flights, I assume, as well.
I have, yep.
But I have yet to do either of those. I have my ticket, and that's about it.
So. I imagine that, those accommodations are disappearing, and it's just you get on it. For me, actually traveling to it is a little bit... I'm rather close. I mean, I'm just in Southern California. Granted, it's an hour flight or whatever it is, but I'm closer than you are. I'm closer than some of the people that are coming from Canada or from other countries. So, I guess I'm fortunate in that regard. I don't have to wait until Friday to go home or whatever. I can go home, Thursday night after the show at 5 o'clock. Yeah. I think it's 6 o'clock on my flight. So,
yeah, I'm looking into extending my trip, because the Burning Man event is happening that week and the week after. So
really?
Maybe popping over there for a couple of days and seeing what's going on. Yeah.
Interesting.
We'll see. Got a friend that is considering going, so I might join up with her and this other big group of people. So see what it's all about.
I've got some new toys that I've been playing around with, getting ready for doing some recording and broadcast on the floor as well as in the hotel room. And we'll see what we can put together for a show over there. Should be pretty interesting. It's our first in person since we've done the show.
It's our first in person ever, ever
in person of each other, and the first in person for the show, and a lot of firsts here.
That's right. We haven't done an in person, even interview with anyone, have we? We've been very local.
No.
I think we did the one. I forget her name, but she was based in Chicago, so we were in the same city at the same time.
Right.
But haven't done anything in person.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to actually... That's one of the things that I was thinking behind swapping out the new soundboard that I got that we were playing with last week. And if you missed that intro, go back and rewatch it. It was hysterical playing with...
sound effects like this one.
All the new sound effects and stuff. So
have you labeled them now so you know which one's which?
No, I just memorized the first floor, the first four on the first pad. But essentially, there's another deck that's similar to this that doesn't have an HDMI capture because, quite frankly, I'm not going to use that. If I'm capturing my screen, it's going to be through screen capture software and not a separate device because I'm using, my computer for this and I edit
so are you
post
thinking
and I don't stream
that
live.
Like the next size board up is going to be maybe better then?
Yeah, the Duo, because that's got the dual XLR inputs as well as, a lot more audio focused stuff, which is what I need as opposed to the, and it also still has the wireless built in for the mics. This is sacrilege. I'm holding up a DJI kit and it's a Rode soundboard. So this will not be compatible, but whatever.
I think you've got like the visuals too, like the levels and things like that on there on the left. Left corner.
Yeah. It's basically a whole production board.
It's what, 200 more?
I think it's just one, maybe not even. The problem is it's not available. It's nobody's got it. So I got to find either, I don't know, maybe B&H. The Rodecaster Pro is available, but it's the Duet is the one that I need. Not the Duet, sorry, the Duo.
No.
Duo. I'm talking about Duet AI all day. So not that Duet, the Google's Duet. This is the Duo.
Have you heard of anyone actually using it and like thinking about paying for it?
No. I keep trying it. I keep playing around with it, and let's just hope that the page of updates that we have here today to talk about has the impact that I really think and have seen others talk about it having. Okay. But I have seen some people poking around with it and playing with it a lot. But it's not necessarily a part of the daily workflow yet. Unfortunately, yeah. ChatGPT really has the head start in that area for organizations thinking about integrating with APIs and things like that. Obviously, that's about to change, and I'm sure that there is a flood of announcements that are likely to be coming out of Google Next, similar to how they did when Bard was announced in the first place. So,
yeah, so that's my big question about the whole like Bard, ChatGPT, whatever it is, you know, is how well integrated it can get into your like day-to-day workflow, right?
And right.
That
depends on your workflow.
Can find it,
right?
Yeah, and what they're doing, right? I mean, I've heard people that are using it every day to like build like marketing campaigns, and it's like done everything for them. They just use that, and boom, it's done. If it can integrate into those kind of users' workflows, I think that'd be great. I mean, I haven't really had a need for it personally. I think the stuff that I do is, you just can't automate the stuff that I'm doing, right? It's specific stuff.
I've done it for a couple of things. Job description was really helpful. I use it to outline an SOP. Was also really helpful. So, little pieces, things here and there. It's not quite there, but I think that one of the things that we're going to see with this update in particular, especially being able to pull in from images and, be more conversational than it already is, and, exporting directly, which is already sort of doing, is getting better. I think that these are going to be things that are really going to help. Apparently, coding is a huge update in this one as well. So we'll have to wait and see how that works.
All right, well, let's run through the headlines there then of the updates we have for you this week. Five, as I said, silent releases that came out in the recap post. First one is improved media viewing on Android devices in Google Chat. We were just playing around with that just before we started this meeting and the event here, and it looks pretty good. I mean, it's what you expect from, or what you've seen, I guess, from iMessage on Apple and WhatsApp and everything else. It's a quick view of the media that is being shared within the group and space kind of thing. Next one is extending long running queries within connected sheets. Next, filter by measures and value in a pivot table with connected sheets for Looker. So a couple there for connected sheets. My favorite update of the year. Adding emojis in Google Sheets. I've been waiting for that one for ages. Glad it's finally out. I've not been able to work in Google Sheets until this has come out. Been missing those emojis. And then finally, a pretty big one, actually. This didn't get its own update, but pretty big. So scaling meetings to 1,000 attendees, with 500 attendees being viewers, now available on the Workspace Education Plus tier. So I guess, it's just specific to that Education Plus tier, but a pretty significant update there for those using Meet to stream out to a lot of attendees. And then the three that we saw during the week is that paid appointment bookings are now available in Google Calendar. So we've kind of been talking about that in the last couple of weeks. So that is pretty significant, pretty cool there. I see a lot of people using Calendly to leverage that functionality, but here it is in Google Calendar now with that Stripe integration. Next, the ability to negotiate time directly in Gmail to schedule meetings faster. And then finally, adding hyperlinks to text in Google Chat is now available, so you just don't have to add the link below the text, but you can actually highlight the text you want and add that hyperlink. And then, as we said, a lot of updates to Bard. Those came out middle of last week. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kind of major headline updates for Bard this last week. We hadn't really seen much for a little while. So nice to see a lot of updates coming just now all at once. And then, like I said, Jesse probably seeing a bunch more coming around next, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I'm poking around with it already now, and I think I'm already seeing a lot of these updates because it's answering questions that it wasn't answering before. So
yeah,
it's much smoother and faster.
Yeah, the Bard updates probably come out as we see them in the announcement. They're not delayed like some of the workspace updates we're seeing and kind of rollout paces there. Quick, I'd probably skip over this so we can go through the details, but Drive for Desktop has, version 78 has been released. That just some additional bug fixes and performance improvements there, so not much to report. But then in Chrome 115, we have that coming out soon, and a few interesting things on the Emma console and, on other things too. So we'll share the link so you can go through all of those interesting updates with what 115 has. But we will touch on those few admin console updates with some new management card there at the admin console, new setup guide. There's a new Chrome OS settings page redesign. So that's kind of probably the most significant one of the week for this release. So you'll notice that in the admin console. And then some printing reports available in the Chrome Management Reports API. And then a couple policies being added to the admin console. So those are all the updates for the week. And then we, of course, have a few things in the news as well. So around four different things here. So first one is Notebook LM, formerly known as Tailwind, announced that IO is being renamed. That's all you just have not actually heard of any of those things. So
you obviously didn't pay attention to IO.
No, not that much. Did not actually. And then we have Google's AI-powered Notes app is now called, Notebook LM.
Yeah.
And it's launching today. So there. Oh, it's without the space, maybe. And then let's see, last two. We have Bard AI chatbot can talk and respond to visual prompts. So kind of everything that we were kind of alluding to in the seven or so updates that we had with Bard this week. And then last, from the updates perspective, is that design manager at Brext used Bard to create a timer app in minutes. Yes, Brext being a bank, which I love, actually. I've used those guys. Pretty cool.
So I was chuckling before because one of the key questions that I ask Bard just as a little test, and also related to this, if you haven't watched the most recent episode of Sash Showdown, which is also on our YouTube channel, or Sash Showdown on the podcast networks produced by Moi, they were testing out at the end of the episode, both in Bard and in ChatGTP, about writing a description for a podcast. And I found out that Bard doesn't know who we are, or it sort of does, because it got the description of the podcast right, but then it said it was hosted by Chris and Michael. And then I rephrased the question, and it said it was hosted by somebody else. So I asked it again now for a description, and it didn't include who hosted it in the description. So when I asked it, who hosts the Google Workspace podcast, here's what I got today. The Google Workspace Recap podcast is hosted by Ben Popper, a senior editor at The Verge. He is joined by a rotating cast of guests from Google and the tech industry. Pretty sure Ben Popper retired.
Because, so remember when Bard first came out, I asked it, what is Google Workspace Recap?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately it came back saying this podcast was by Jesse Nolan and Steve Larson, who both are experts in Google Workspace. Yeah. So it knew us in the beginning.
So that was the other thing that I was thinking last week, because I was just, I got to pull up the chat. I think did I talk about this in last week's show? I don't remember. But I feel like it's just screwing with me at this point, because it keeps saying it's hosted by all these other people and not us. So it said, where the hell was it? It said it was Chris and Michael. And then, where was it? Shoot, here we go. Blah, 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 blah. In each episode, Chris and Michael discussed the following and so on and so forth. And before that, there were other names that it was saying. that was just like, what, why? Ryan Lee and Ben Lafferty, I don't know who those people are, experts in Google Workspaces, and they bring their knowledge and insights to each episode. So then I asked it directly, exactly what I said here, who hosts the Google Workspace Recap podcast? And it told me that the Google Workspace Recap podcast is hosted by Jesse Nolan and Steve Larson, and then gave our bios here, which was pretty accurate.
This is weird.
So I think Bart is just,
I got a new one, like new names. Do you hear of Kenny Banguis and Nirmal Kumanjer? Yeah, look at the link. I'm adding a new one. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm gonna copy and paste. It's just weird.
All right, we have a doc really on this and Bard responses.
yeah. Like
that's what
came through. That's the new one. I'm gonna try to get the formatting right. There you go. Yeah, so that's what just came through, the new response section.
Oh goodness.
Yeah. I mean, it got a lot of the information correct, but a lot of it wrong.
Yeah, especially the hosts.
right. Yes. All right.
Bart, why are you screwing with me?
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to be your friend, Bart, please. The greatest thing about all of this, though, is that at the end of each Bard, it's Bard, but it's duet because I'm doing it in Google Docs here, not in bard.google.com. And I'm doing it right now in duet because basically the same. I think they're the same. Anyway, they should be the same if they're not. But it says this is a creative writing aid not intended to be factual, so there you have it, folks. Let's see if I do bard.google.com what comes up when I say who hosts Google Workspace Recap podcast. Survey says thinking, still thinking. Oh. Aha! Hosted. Interesting. Got it correct.
If you search for Kenny, like the name, and then Google, like the very first result says Kenny Banguis Google Workspace Recap on LinkedIn.
Who the hell is this guy?
I don't know, but he. Oh, you know what? You know why? Because he has his experience listed as Google Workspace Recap. That's his job.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Yeah, he has the company listed as.
Did we get hosed? So LinkedIn,
no.
I have a gripe with LinkedIn. Yeah. And LinkedIn, what LinkedIn does is they let anybody, unverified, by the way, list, totally unverified, I don't have to confirm it at all, list that they work for a company. And there's no way that I can say they don't work for the company other than reporting them. And that, I feel, is probably what is happening here, and I am very not happy with this. Ooh, just makes me mad. We work hard for this, people. Where is this clown? There's two of them that are on here on LinkedIn. Well, one says LinkedIn member, and the other one says LinkedIn member. So where's the link for that? Oh, there it is. Kenny.
Just search for the two names, and then you'll see they're, they've attached themselves. That's what happened.
Clown from the Philippines. Yeah. I'm going to report him.
One is from Sri Lanka and one is from the Philippines, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to report him full time for a year and 6 months. That is not factual.
Well, the other one says, no job, but it just still shows Workspace Recap. So
now I'm mad. Now I'm mad. Microsoft, you and I are going to have words about LinkedIn. This is BS.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Where's the cursing button on here? There we go. Yeah. All right, let's get on with the show.
Let's get on with the show. Yes, please. All right. First one here, improved media viewing in Android, on Android devices in Google Chat. So, when you're in a group message, individual and one-on-one, you have this new kind of menu or to kind of see the different media that's being shared there. So that is an added option when you click on the name in the group or the user in the space. You can sort of see all the media that's been shared there in that conversation. Next, we have the extension of long-running queries within Google Sheets, or connected Sheets. So the timeout currently is 5 minutes for connected Sheets. So this week, that is being extended from 5 to 10 minutes for BigQuery and Looker. So be able to analyze more data there, larger query sets. And then next, the ability to filter by measures and value in a pivot table with connected sheets for Looker. So there was some ability to do dimensions in pivot tables, but not measures. So now Looker users are able to filter by measures with the pivot table. I'll give you some more targeted analysis there on connected sheets. And additionally, you'll also be able to filter by value in a pivot table on a connected sheet. So a couple updates there for those of you leveraging those kind of that integration. And then next, emojis in Google Sheets. So you'll be able to, you know, express yourself more in Sheets, which I don't really know who has ever thought this, but apparently some people need it.
It's a lot of steps to get to it, too. You hit the add symbol, you got to scroll down, you got to click emoji, then you got to find the emoji.
You know what? If I needed, I'd just probably just go to Google and like Google an emoji and then copy paste the image and then paste it in there. I don't know, that's what I've usually done. But I don't. Well, it's now available with the at emoji option.
Okay.
And then, you know, a more useful update here is that Google Meet is scaling to 1,000 attendees and 500 attendees being viewers for
finally
the Workspace Enterprise Plus tier. So, yeah. So for those of you there on the education side, you'll be happy to see that update and take advantage of that as you can.
Yeah, I really need to test the translation, the auto captioning translation capabilities here, because again, for, you know, for my main client here, the town hall that they do quarterly is still happening on Zoom because they have the transcription with the translator, a person typing them out on a stenographer.
Right.
And, you know, if Meet can handle it now, then I would love to switch them over.
All right, next one. So no, it's fine. I was looking at the order in which they have the recap post, and then versus the order they came out, which we typically do them, you know, first in the week to last. So just the different order. That's why I was like kind of looking at this. But from the RSS feed here, the first update that we have, at least from my logs here, the 10th, is that there are paid appointment bookings available now in Google Calendar. So this was just kind of an update. There's an update here. It just came in today, just to the end user rollout by several days. So we will, of course, mention that at the end here in the rollout pace. But this is, you know, what we kind of mentioned the other week was, you know, Stripe being able to connect into your appointment, you know, scheduling calendar there. And, you know, take some payments there if you are, you know, kind of in that industry and that's what you do. So be able to connect that Stripe account into the calendar when creating those appointments for events. And there's a pretty good animation here of what that looks like in terms of, you know, checking out and booking it. You know, kind of a pretty good workflow there with that. This will, you know, I think there will be the ability for admins to turn this on and off. So for users on Business Standard, this feature will be on by default. It can be disabled by admins in the console there. For all our SKUs, it'll be off by default. So I don't know why Business Standard got this on for some reason. By default, I don't know, maybe a lot of Business Standard users wanting it for them. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it'll be off. You'll have to enable that for your users. And then, you know, once enabled, of course, as the end user, you'll be able to set that up, I think, with your own Stripe account. So rollout pace on this, the admin settings will be available or have been available since the 10th of July on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility for both scheduled release and rapid release domains. The end user settings, though, those will not be coming out until a little bit later. So rapid release domains will not see those until the 27th of July. On a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility there. And then scheduled release domains, you'll have to wait even a little bit longer till the 9th of August, also a 15-day up to 15 days for visibility there on that one. And this is available to business standard tiers and up. So it'll include standard plus, enterprise, standard and plus, and then of course the education, and then education fundamentals, education standard, education plus, and teaching and learning upgrade, along with nonprofits and workspace individual users. So it doesn't seem like it's coming to personal Google accounts, but those with workspace individual only. Next, the ability to negotiate time directly in Gmail to schedule meetings faster.
This is huge.
Yeah. So trying to schedule time with people in the org, it's just making it, a bit faster here. So there's a little button to schedule it, looks like it's like creating a little window of time, right? And then inserting that into the email, giving some people an options. Yep. Exactly. So it really, it's based on, the person that's sending that email, giving everyone like a window of time there. But, it's pretty cool. It's not something that you can do like a vote on all these times, right? It's not like something like that, but it's still a big improvement to make it easier to schedule times.
Think more Calendly than, what's that one where you vote on times? It's very popular.
Yeah.
Blanking on it now.
I know. Looper, I've used it a couple of times.
Looper.
It's not Monday, is it?
No. Vote on times. Doodle.
Doodle. That's the one.
Doodle's super popular. Yeah. So think more Calendly options when you send in an email than a Doodle selection.
Right. Yeah.
But this is more. Excuse me, my voice is a little, it's been a long day. This is more you're manually selecting the times in your calendar for the next couple of days or whatever it is that that you select, as opposed to Calendly, where it's generally just your preset or it'll give based on your availability, right. As opposed to this. So, I think I kind of like this one a little bit better. Calendly still has one advantage that we've had where it's able to check against multiple calendars to make sure it's free. Right. So I have my personal calendar, my TabGeeks calendar, my client calendars and stuff like that. And so my calendar can check through those. But
right. Well, I can do that with my appointment booking calendar too. Right. So I can send an
against
appointment.
Against multiple other people's calendars as well.
As long as they're shared with you and then you can access them. Yes. You can select them.
Right. You have to have them shared on there. That's another way to do it.
Staff, like in general staff, you could be like, here's the calendar that, my team has, right? So here's the team calendar link, right?
Right.
And all right, well, when do we want to meet? Or like if you're sending that, if you're meeting, if your team's meeting maybe another team or another person, you can have these different appointment slots created and link all those calendars together. So it's possible.
Yeah, it might work. It just
gets a lot of
it's without giving access to the whole calendar.
Well, kind of set up. It just gets cumbersome when you have now all these overlapping appointment calendars on your calendar because you see, see those blocks of time all the time and you create these new calendar appointment slots.
Yeah.
So that's what I've done. It's a little bit annoying is that, I'm seeing all these different, overlaps of appointment slots. So, but if you need to do it, it works.
Right. Yeah. Cool.
All right. Some info on how to offer times you're free and create an event in there. So I'm just looking here. Time suggestions can only be made for your primary calendar, and it works only work for one-on-one meetings. So, that's unfortunate. But if multiple people are included in the recipient list, only the first person to book an appointment will be added to the event automatically. Yeah. So I guess that's a little unfortunate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just for one-on-one meetings.
Yep. We're getting getting closer.
Yeah. So this feature, of course, will be on by default. No admin controls for this at all. And rollout pace for this has started on the 11th of July for rep release domains. 15 days for visibility there. And then schedule release domains will start at the end of the month on the 31st. I also want a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility and available to all Workspace customers and users with personal Google accounts. All right, and then last but not least, in terms of the Workspace updates, the ability to add hyperlinks to text in Google Chat. So instead of just adding that long hyperlink at the end or somewhere in the middle of the conversation and what you're going to send, you can highlight some text and hyperlink to it. So, yeah, and you know, and they use the hyperlinks, I think, in this announcement. Yep. I think they didn't use it last time, did they? I don't know. Maybe they did.
No, it was shown in a different post.
Because I was making a joke about the hyperlink term or something like that, right? I thought maybe they said something else, like link, just like link to.
Yeah.
Link in text, but anyways. this one is rolling out already to the rep release domains starting on the 13th of July. Gradual rollout for them, 15 days for visibility as per usual. And then for scheduled release domains, this will start the 1st of August on a 1 to 3 day rollout, full rollout there with 1 to 3 days for that, for feature visibility. And all Workspace customers, as well as those with personal Google accounts for that one. All right. Yeah,
to reiterate that is out of order. If you're trying to follow along on the Workspace updates blog, out of order from exactly. What's there. And I'm going to have to be really careful when I'm editing. Stuff out of order. Because sometimes I just get in the zone and I'm creating the images for the video here, the title cards, and I just, you know, copy, paste, and push, and download, and move it across, you know, cut and put it in, and I don't even look at, you know, I don't always 100% listen to when I'm putting it there, so I'm going to have to be real careful on this episode.
It's full of notes this time.
Full of potholes for me. Yikes.
Yeah. Don't follow the recap post from Google. 4 updates? No, it was 5. Oh,
and then I always follow the recap post. All right, new rule. You always have to follow the recap post.
Like our notes, like shows,
yeah.
All right, Bard updates. Here we go. Yeah. So first one that we've had since early June, I think. Yeah, the 7th of June. So it's been over a month, really. Biggest one, I think, is right at the top. And that is more languages, more countries. It's gonna, you know, it's more easily available to people, not just in the U.S. in English. So there's 40 new languages. It's going to be included, and then 27 new countries. So a lot, EU and Brazil. So mostly Europe, but still, it is available to more countries now and languages. Next is Google Lens in Bard. I'm not going to go through all the details and everything here, but Google Lens and Bard is another headline.
This is the one you were asking about.
Bard. Well, yeah, I know. True. It was the one I was asking about. So being able to upload images there alongside the text to kind of give it more context of what you're looking for. Next one, though, is that Bard can read responses out loud. I mean, okay, nice. I guess that's kind of part of maybe the Google Assistant. Well, not accessibility, but maybe part of it being like Google Assistant type of functionality. So when we said, hey, Bard, like, you know, responding to that.
Really?
Perhaps now it can talk back to you on your device or at home. So we'll see if that's maybe the next iteration of that update.
I am skeptical, but I am hopeful.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm praying for it, honestly. I want Bard in Google Assistant, please. Yeah. But I don't know.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, it might just be like an extension of it. Like I think the way that we saw it was, you know, hey, Google Assistant, open up Bard kind of thing.
Yeah, ask Bard.
Yeah.
No, don't hack it. Build it.
Next is pinned in recent threads. So just kind of being of the... keep track
That's
of
cool.
what you've been asking it.
Feature parity with ChatGPT.
Okay. sharing your Bard conversations with others. So being able to like create some shareable links there. And then two more here is that you'd be able to modify Bard responses. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of, we've seen a lot of options to extract those responses out of there.
Yep.
Be able to make them a little bit simpler, shorter, longer here, or more professional, more casual type of thing. And then finally, extracting Python code to Replit. I've actually not heard of Replit, but That is a collaborative IDE application for developers. So it's essentially a cloud IDE.
So cool.
That's what that is. I've not used it yet, but I was looking for a lot of cloud IDEs back in the day, trying to find something that was good. I've not come across that one yet, but something new, I'm sure. All right. So that sums up the Bard updates there. As I said, Drive for Desktop has a very minor update, version 78, with some bug fixes and performance improvements. And then next, a little bit more detailed updates here to Chrome version 115 coming out. And first one being the new Chrome Browser Cloud Management Card, which you will start to see on the homepage there of the of your admin console. So it's kind of taking you, it's a little bit more visible there, CBCM functionality. Next, there is the Chrome setting page redesign. So this is probably the most impactful to those of you, using any kind of Chrome settings. And it really doesn't have to be CBCM type of stuff. It's really going to be anything Chrome related. So if you are, using the Chrome settings in any way for Chrome OS, CBCM, or otherwise, you will start to see a new look to those admin console. All the settings.
This is why it looks so familiar when I was looking through it in the notes. I've had this in testing for like 4 years.
Yeah, so I'm looking
I've
at it.
I've had access to this since 2018, I think.
It's been a long time. Yeah, I know, like, if you were part of some of the Chrome alpha beta releases, it's been there for a while. I remember mentioning this in, the Chrome channel in Mac admins, and I forget his name over at Airbnb. What is his name? Huge into the Chrome stuff. anyways, I remember him mentioning it. Like, it's been there for forever.
Mm-hmm.
They're finally, yay! Finally releasing the redesign. Yeah. So I guess that's coming out, and.
Which is good, because I couldn't share my screen on that part of the admin panel for a long time because there's a big red confidential on the bottom.
Okay, so I haven't seen that then.
No.
And it was, Graham's over, so I was thinking of.
Right.
Okay, so maybe I have not seen this then, because I've not seen any kind of banner at all in any of the Chrome settings before.
Hmm.
All right. Yeah. I think I tried to sign up a lot of times, maybe it hasn't worked. After we have
sometimes it's right time, right place, I was particularly bugging the hell out of the team that was building on the admin panel back in 2018 at Next, and I think that's probably what got me in, because I was just like, maybe it was 2017, I don't know, I was like, when are you going to fix this, like, make this faster, make it more functional, why is this so hard to use? And then that was when they kind of clued me into the fact that it was getting a complete overhaul, and then I kind of got added to a couple of different things there. So
I met one of the team, like the design companies and teams that was doing some of that redesign way back when I was in London, which is like four plus years ago.
It was before we met.
Yeah. They were part of the team that was like doing some of the redesign. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been working on this for a while. At that point they were working on it for a while.
It's been in the works.
Yeah. It's been a long time. All right. Next is the Chrome setup guide. So some, little tiles of how to get Chrome OS set up for different kind of things, creating test orgs, adding users for testing, those kind of things, how to get started essentially with those Chrome settings for you as an admin. So some interesting little help, essentially like kind of, get you started guides there. Now in the admin console. Next, the Village of Print Reports is going to be available in the Chrome Management Reports API. So some new endpoints there being added to allow access to printing reports. So this will provide like a per user per printer summary printing reports, as well as listing all print jobs submitted to manage printers. And then finally, a couple new settings within the Yammer console. So now you'll have enable autofill for addresses and enable autofill for credit cards as options. So being able to allow users to use or not use those features there. And yeah, that wraps up all of the updates that I have for you this week. Jesse, over to you with the news updates there with some hard ones to kick things off.
All right. So yeah, for anyone who is paying attention over at I/O, one of the interesting things that was announced was called Tailwind. It was kind of a private AI integrated notebook where you were going to be able to write out your notes and then ask questions based on your notes and say, hey, how, you know, what was the meetings that I took in this and this day? What did I say about that? And it would be able to pull that up for you. And, you know, that really kind of lit the spark in my mind of, hey, we could build something like this for clients and customers to be able to look at their internal data. And that's something that I'm looking into doing right now. But this was something that really piqued my interest because I take a lot of notes, but let's be honest, I can't always find them when I'm looking for them. And I thought that this would be, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's targeted at education, but this would be really, really helpful for somebody like me. And so it seems that they have changed the name. It is now called Notebook LM, one word. It is an AI-first notebook grounded in the information you choose and trust because, well, it comes from you. So that makes sense. It's only an experiment, and it's currently available in the U.S. Join the waitlist to try it yourself. So that's the other news item here is that it is now available to join the waitlist. It does say in the next article that I have that it has launched today, which was already last week, but only to a very small amount of people. So join the waitlist if you're interested in that. Steve, did you have something you want to say?
No, just I was looking at the list, you know, when it asks you like what industry you're in, a lot of education drop downs there, and just like, right. Oh, and then some random tech sector topic, you know, so it's like, yeah, definitely education kind of focused.
Yeah, definitely education focused, but would be super useful for somebody like me. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
Seems super cool, and they're not the only ones doing this. Dropbox, Notion, imagine ClickUp also, I think I heard them say something about this. They're all working on, you know, some form of this. This is the future of note-taking is, you know, dump all your data in, and then the AI will bring it to you.
Is this something like an Evernote, maybe, would you think?
Well, Evernote. Do you really want to talk about Evernote? Evernote is kind of a shit show at the moment.
This is that's why I was kind of bringing it up. I just thought that because this is something better than Evernote. I did migration from Evernote over to Google, and I don't know. So I was wondering what your thoughts. Like, is it something similar to Evernote? Would you say?
That depends on how the note taking works and how it's all organized and what it allows you to dump in. Because one of the cool things for me personally, when I used to use Evernote, was the clipper to be able to grab stuff, images and text off of the internet and just dump it into notes and write notes about it. And I found that very, very helpful. And so I guess we're going to have to see how this is set up and what kind of things it allows you to capture as it goes on. For those who are not following along or seeing this in the news, Evernote, I think, was sold. And basically fired everybody in the U.S., moved the company to Europe, and are starting over to some effect. So really, well, strange turn of events there. How often does a company get bought, fire everyone, and move? When's the last time that has happened?
An Italian Spending Spoons bought them. It was an Italian company.
Sure.
Started in Copenhagen. But,
yeah. Good for them. Weird tactic there, people. Did they keep anybody? Like, I don't know. I don't know. It wasn't an acqui-hire because they fired everybody. So what were they going for? The tech? Are they going to shut it down? I don't know. I'd be really weary about sticking with Evernote at the moment. And if I were you, I would start backing up your information and making sure that you have that where you can access it and, you know, get to it should it just one day stop working. I actually was in an article in, I think, in Inc. magazine, whatever, online, several years ago, talking about this exact title, is that sometimes your information just gets trapped, and if you don't have backups of it, when it goes poof, it's gone. So, ye be warned. That was an interesting tangent. Didn't expect to get into that this week. So we have to finish that up, we have a Verge article talking about Tailwind, now called Notebook LM, and what it offers, some screenshots, some GIFs of what you can do in it. And if you're interested in that, you should go and join the waitlist. Then we have another Verge article, which basically goes over what we talked about for the updates in Bard, as obviously, as usual, more updates and information of some of the things that you can do. But it is pretty much similar to what we were talking about here. And then the last thing, which is also Bard, is something that really starts to show off the power and capability of Bard in programming, something that I'm not quite qualified to talk about because I dabble, but I'm not really a programmer. But this individual, who is a design manager at the company Brex, used Google Bard to create a basic timer app for the iPhone in under 4 minutes, quoting, just from a screenshot. So essentially, he says here, did not give it hints as to what the app did, and it provided all of the code. It made some mistakes, but nothing it couldn't fix. And then he has a video here of the whole process, and he basically took this and was able to run it as a basic app on an iPhone. So that's pretty crazy. I don't know if anyone has tried to do that with ChatGTP, but I imagine that maybe. I don't know. Go try it. Go find out for us. I am finding it amusing that as I am scrolling through this post, I'm getting an ad on Twitter for a company that is called AdsGTP, which is Google Ads written and run by ChatGTP, which is kind of funny here. But the account that's doing it is called Null. At RealNull42, and is verified and has 300 followers. My guess is they just started, and that's a brand new account. And advertising on Twitter has gotten interesting these days. If I were writing something that was going to be doing programmatic operations of my advertising for Google Ads, it would definitely be over using, Duet in GCP and so on. So, but we digress. If you're interested in this, click on the link in the show notes, and you can see the whole video of how he set this up. Pretty interesting. It's a brave new world. Machines coding code. Coding for us. All right, that's all for this week. Send us your questions and comments on Twitter at Workspace Recap, and on our website, workspacerecap.com. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Give us a thumbs up. Hit the like button, etc., wherever you are listening to us or watching us. We appreciate you coming back every week. We hope to see you at Google Next. If you haven't registered for that, go ahead and do that and let us know where you will be, and hopefully we can do a meetup of some sort, whether it's an official one or an unofficial one or sponsored or otherwise. We'd love to meet you all out in Google Next, I suppose I should say. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Workspace Recap.